Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. How many of you are excited to be here? Oh, good, good. I am excited to be here. To be honest with you, especially when I was growing up, camp was one of my favorite things to do in life. In fact, I grew up in Kansas, 1,000 miles from here, almost exactly 1,000 miles, and I went to camp one year, 1998, and I believe I was a camper at the Wilds of the Rockies. And that very same summer, I was also working at a camp. I was just landscaping, so I didn't really meet anybody. I just was on a riding lawnmower, listening to preaching tapes. I don't know if you know what a tape is, but we had these things called Walkman, and a Walkman was this yellow box. Well, mine was yellow, and you put a cassette tape in it, and you snap it shut, and then it'll flop, and you push a button. And it was like an MP3, okay, except much, much larger. And they wore out. I thought I would keep them, and I still have some of them, and they probably none of them work because they get worn out. But anyway, I worked at a camp, and then that same summer, I came to Camp Barnabas. I had a friend that was coming here, and so I said, hey, it's camp, I'm coming. And that was really my first real introduction to Ambassador. I had been here before, but it was during a spring break, and the ball field was flooded, and no one was here. As a student, and so it was kind of just drive through, look at some buildings, and leave, and so I was very unimpressed with that. I thought, your ball field's flooded. What is that all about? I don't know that it's flooded since then, but anyway, so that was my first introduction to Ambassador Baptist College, and believe it or not, you think about the math there, that's 20 years ago. 20 years ago that I was a camper. I know I only look like I'm 24. That's because I was 4 years old when I came. Not really. Maybe you'll want to guess throughout the week how old I really am, but 20 years ago, and I met some people at camp, friends. You meet people at camp that become your friends, and people that you didn't expect to meet. You know, I didn't come to camp to meet people. I did have a friend that was coming, and that's one of the reasons why I came, but I met a friend, and I am still friends with him today. In fact, there was a couple of different people. One of those people, his name was Nick Vance, and two of his children are here today. And that's kind of weird that I was at camp with your dad. And also, Miss Chambers, I was in camp with your dad right here at Camp Barnabas. And so weird things happen. Time flies when you're not paying attention. And so one of those friends, I actually went Saturday. We went to visit another friend of ours. And we were just talking about that we've been friends for 20 years, more than half of our lives that we've been friends. And I want to talk a little bit about friends, but maybe in a different perspective tonight. As I said, you'll meet new friends. You have best friends. How many of you have a best friend? I didn't say that so that some of you wouldn't raise your hand and then feel bad because you don't have a best friend. Some of you have old friends. You will make new friends, but friends take work, do they not? The Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. If you don't work at maintaining that relationship will grow dry. It will grow weak. It will grow poorly. In fact, I remember thinking when I was in high school that these friends that I have in high school are the best friends that I'm ever going to have. Boy, was I wrong. In fact, I have talked in the last however long it's been since I graduated high school, I have talked with those friends from high school probably less than a handful of times. In fact, it's probably less than 3 times, not including the times when I went back from college. It's really amazing. Our lives have gone completely different directions. But the friends that I made in college, some of those friends that I made here in Camp Barnabas, I am still very close friends with today. In fact, I just preached a week or two ago for Brother Vance, and just talking about that, just seeing that, and how God has directed our lives, it really is amazing. But it takes work to maintain that friendship. But we're in Exodus chapter 33, and you say, where are you going to go with friends? Well, just hang on. And the context of this chapter, Moses had come down from the mountain. And remember when he was up there, he was receiving the Ten Commandments, he was receiving instruction from the Lord, and he comes down and he sees that the people are in immorality, they're in wickedness, they're worshiping this false god, this golden calf. And so there are some consequences because of that sin, and that is that is talked about in the first few verses, but we're going to pick it up in verse 4. And God had given the condemnation. And verse 4 says, "And when the people heard these evil tidings, that God was not going to go with them, his presence, they mourned, and no man did put upon him his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, saying to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he is gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." Now that we've read this passage, let's pray. Father, as we come to your word tonight, we need you. We need you to understand it as you want us to. We need you to apply it to our hearts. But Lord, at the same time, I ask that every single young person here and every single person here would come at this with an open heart, saying, "Lord, what will you have me to do? How would you have me to change? Lord, show me in your word what I need to do." And Lord, I pray that you would use this to just set up their hearts and set up this week for you, that you could do a work. And I thank you for what camp is and what it means in saturating ourselves in the word of God and getting away from all those things that can distract us and can get in the way of our relationship with you. And I pray that tonight that you would help me as I communicate these things that you've showed me. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about your friendship or your relationship with God. Because everybody here today is some person that God wants a relationship with you. And you are either in a relationship with the Lord or you're not. And if you're not, it means you're not saved. It means you don't have a relationship with him. It means you've not come to him and asked him to forgive you your sins. But I would imagine that most of you have had that, have had a relationship with the Lord. Now, I don't know where your relationship with the Lord is right now. As we talked, friends can grow apart or they can grow together. And I don't know how hard it is that you are being a friend to the Lord, how hard you are working at your relationship with the Lord. But there's some elements in this passage that I think we can apply to our lives. What are some ingredients? What are some elements of a healthy relationship with God? And the first thing I want you to notice in verses 7 and 8, "And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass," notice this, "that everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle." Now, what are we talking about here? When they wanted to seek the Lord, that's where they would go. When they saw Moses, they stood up and watched because there was an anticipation that God was going to meet with them there. An anticipation. You need to have an anticipation with the Lord. What do you mean by that? I mean that every time you open God's word, you need to have an anticipation that God is going to meet with you there. He said that his word will not return void. That means every time you hear it, every time you see it, every time you read it, every time you hear it spoken, that God has a message for you. This means when I come to a chapel service, when I come to a Sunday school class, when I come to a church service, when I come to a camp service, I expect that God has something for me. You know, sometimes as an adult, maybe you come to a service like this, and you're an adult, and you sit in the various places that adults sit because you feel like, well, this isn't for me. But the truth is, God has something for every single one of us when his word is opened. His word will not return void. It will accomplish the purpose to which it is sent. That means if God has something for me, I will miss it if I'm not paying attention, if I am not anticipating that God will meet with me. Sometimes I think we run into the problem of opening our Bibles maybe for a devotional time. Maybe we've got a booklet that we're working through or something else, but we go and we do that, but really that's all we're doing is checking a box that that's what we did. and we've read words. But if somebody were to ask us immediately after, all we could tell them is, well, I read in Proverbs chapter 15. What did you read in Proverbs chapter 15? Well, I think this verse was there. But what did it mean? Did you meet with the Lord? I read about somebody the other day, a famous preacher from years and years gone by, and they said something like, don't leave God's word until God has met with you that day. Keep reading it until you have met with God on that day. What a great thing to do. Well, how long would that take? You know, I think a lot of that's up to us because God wants to meet with us. So if we're not having an appointment with God, it's not his fault. It's his word. He wants to speak through his word. We need to have an anticipation for that. One of my favorite things about sports is anticipation. You know, if there weren't any anticipation, it wouldn't be any fun. You know, if you know the end of the game, if you know that score before you watch it, it really takes a lot out of it for you. I've done that lots of times. And I watch, and I'm trying to be excited about the game. And it just lacks something because you lack that anticipation. Football is one of those sports where I really think that you see a lot more anticipation. Think about the end of a game. You know, you don't score 1 point at a time. You score six and maybe seven or eight, depending on what kick comes after that. And the clock, if the clock runs out while the play is still going on, the game is not over until the play is over. So the clock can be stopped and the play is still going on. And I've seen plenty of games where you're just anticipating. The quarterback drops back in the pocket and he's running around trying to find an open wide receiver. And even if he does throw the pass, you don't know if the wide receiver is going to catch it. And even if he does catch it, you don't know if he's going to be in the end zone or going to be able to run to the end zone. And so the whole time you're wondering, what play did they hold out until the end of the game? What is going to happen? This is where star athletes really show who they are. What is going to happen? And you have that anticipation. Maybe it's college basketball and you're watching March Madness and it's that Cinderella team and they're coming down to the last few seconds of the game and it has to be won by a three and the shot goes up and if the TV stopped right there, oh, what's going to happen? Because of anticipation, something is going to happen. We need to have that with our relationship with God. We ought not to come to a service and say, well, it's just another service. I'm just going to go through this service like I went through the last one. And the sad truth is, because of every single one of us has this carnality, okay? Every single one of us has this tendency that sometimes we come to a service and we think, I only have 60 more minutes left. I only have. Now, there's two ways to look at that. That I can just make it through. Or we can say, you know, I only got 60 to meet with the Lord today. I really hope that I get what God's trying to give me today. Coming to a service and maybe your heart is hurting. Maybe you're really needy about something. Maybe there's something going on in your family or in your church and you're really burdened about that. So when you come to that service, you're saying, Lord, I need you to show me. I need you to show me how am I going to get through this in my life. And so you are looking. Or maybe it is, Lord, I know that there's a step that you want me to take in life. A lot of times that comes as a senior, and you don't know what God has for you in that next step of life. And so you're saying, Lord, what do you want me to do in life? What is it? You know, God doesn't often tell you when you're 12 years old what he wants you to do when you're 30 years old. And a lot of times the Lord waits until you're about to make that decision to tell you. Sometimes he calls somebody to preach when they're a little child, and I think that's great. Go for it and don't quit until God directs you someplace else, but he probably won't. But maybe you're a senior and you're saying, I don't know. Well, then open your eyes and open your ears and open your heart and say, Lord, what is it that you have for me? And it could be during one of these preaching sessions that God touches your heart and says, this is what I want you to do. And it could be that maybe you're reading your Bible in your devotion time and God touches your heart. But the truth is, you need to have an anticipation that when God's word is open, that he has something for you. It's not dead time. It's not just for somebody else. That it's for you. You know, God's an infinite God. He doesn't look at Moses and Joshua as, well, those are special people. He looks at you just the same way as he looks at them. You're a special person. And don't think, well, God wanted to communicate with David, but he doesn't want to communicate with me the same way. Yes, he does. He may not have you write scripture. That's not going to happen. But he's going to give you things. He's going to teach you things. He's going to show you things. And he wants to use you. But we need to have an anticipation that there is something that God has for me. And it may be bigger than I've ever thought. It may be a passage that I've read 100 times. But there's something that God has for me. And that's anticipation. There's another thing that these verses show us. Verse number 8 really shows us this. And it came to pass that when Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood, every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. That was attention. They gave God attention. It was a serious moment. They knew that when Moses went out there, that something was going to happen, and they wanted to be there, and they wanted to see what was going to happen. It says also in verse number 7 that everyone which sought the Lord went out, that they would go out to the tabernacle. And you give attention to something you're looking for. And I have four daughters. I have four daughters, and they're in varying states of consciousness. We'll put it that way. One of them's 1 year old, and then there's 5, 7, and 9. And one of them, she's like a butterfly. You ever notice how butterflies never fly in a straight line? They just don't. They may be going for one thing, but they're going to see many things before they get there. And they're never in a hurry. I've never seen a butterfly really in a hurry from anything. And they just flutter around, and that's the way she is. We'll say, you know, basically go into the next room and get this one thing and bring it back. And she goes into the next room, and 5 minutes later, she doesn't know why she went into that room. She just totally forgets. And we're working with her on that. We're trying to help her to focus on one thing and get that one thing done. But it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. That's just the way she is. That's just the way sometimes we're like that. But the truth is, when we really want something, we search for it. Today, you know, we might lose our wallet or we might lose our phone. And when we do, we search for them. Right, we're worried about what's in that wallet. Now, when I was younger, I didn't either have any money in there, or I didn't have credit cards. You know, I may not even have a driver's license, so if I lost my wallet, really, it wasn't that big of a deal. But today, you know, you have a credit card in there, you have your wallet in there, you've got your driver's license in there. You've got important things in there, and if you lose it, then you start getting nervous. Like, am I going to have to call, you know, a couple of banks and tell them to cancel my cards? Am I going to have to go back to the DMV and spend half my life in there getting a new driver's license? You know, all those kind of things, and we worry about that. Or we lose our phone, and we think, my parents are going to kill me. I can't afford a new phone, you know, something like that. But when we look for it, we give all of our attention to that. When they sought the Lord, they would go out. It was work. And when you seek for something, you usually don't stop until you find it or you know that it can't be found. You can find the Lord, and they knew that. They knew that when Moses went out, that Moses was going to meet with the Lord. And they also knew, they also had that anticipation, that expectation, that when they went out to that tabernacle, that they would meet the Lord. But I want to point something out here. That this tabernacle, and I didn't just point it out. If you read verses 7 and 8, I think it's 5 times that Scripture says that this tabernacle was away from the camp. It was outside the camp. It was afar off from the camp. There's a reason why. And it's because of their sin. When we go into sin, our relationship with the Lord becomes very distant. And it could be that we come to a church service and we have a hard time giving attention to God because we're away from Him in our hearts. Because we're harboring sin. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He that turneth his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination to the Lord. Did you hear that? If you turn your ear away from hearing the law, your prayer is an abomination. Don't expect that you can just get out of God without giving to the Lord. And one of those things is our attention. We need to give our attention. That's why it's important for all of us, when we do read God's word, that the phone goes face down, goes on silent, it gets away. That's why I think it's important that you bring to your church, to your Sunday school, that you bring a real Bible, okay, a paper Bible. And here's why. It's not that technology is sin, but tell me which one of you, and if you say it's you, I'm not going to believe you. I'm going to think you're a liar. You see that notification pop up, tell me it doesn't distract you, right? That little, even if it's across the room and you're asleep and it vibrates, you're awake, right? And you're like, that is either the president or my best friend, and I must answer that right now, right? And maybe you're a guy, and it goes buzz, buzz, or a little light flashes, or something pops up on the top, and you're like, it's the latest sports score. Tell me that's not going to distract you, right? It would distract me. right? It would, I guarantee you, it would distract me. That's why I need to put that stuff away. That's why I need to, the only notification on here is scriptural things, okay? That helps me, right? I don't need to be distracted. My attention, maybe this is where my daughter gets the butterfly thing, right? But I am not a butterfly, all right? And I'll prove that, all right? I am not like that. But my attention gets distracted. Our attention gets distracted. But we need to focus on that. We need to block out other things. I know that you can do that. I know that you can, because you're probably like my children, right? Even though they've seen, a movie 100 times. I was gone one time for about 9 days, and I wanted to surprise my kids, so I told my wife, hey, I'm going to be home tonight, and so keep the kids up, because I don't want to just wake them up. I just keep them up. I'll be home, sometime after dark. And so the way it was set up, wherever our TV was here, and the way I came in was over there. So they would face just like you all are facing this direction. And so I came in that door, and I was, kind of sneaking, but I thought, they're going to see me, and they're going to be so excited. And I walked in that door, and you know what? Nemo is going to get found, all right? He's found every time. They know that Nemo's going to get found. It didn't matter. Okay, I'm coming in the room. They're distracted. They are focused. It doesn't matter what. I probably could have done jumping jacks over there and said, hey, I brought everybody a bicycle and candy and all kinds of stuff. You know what? They blocked me out. They had one thing in mind, Nemo. You know what? That is attention. We need to focus on giving our attention to God when it is time to give our attention to God. These are those times. It's not because the preacher is the most dynamic preacher in the world. It's because the Word of God is special, and I have an anticipation that God is going to meet with me. And so therefore, I am going to seek the Lord when I have the opportunity to seek Him. I'm going to seek the Lord as I read Scripture. I'm going to seek the Lord as He preaches to me, because I want to work on my relationship with the Lord, because I want it to be better. I don't want it to grow weak. I don't want it to grow old. But that concentration that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind, and that we are to study to show ourselves. All those things are focusing of the mind. All those things are concentration. They take attention. They take work. In Proverbs, I think it's chapter 18, that those that seek after wisdom, they separate themselves and intermeddle with all wisdom. What does that mean? Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddle with all wisdom. Now, we look at that and sometimes we say, well, there's a lot of big words in there. Look, you have an interest. Maybe it's a sport. Maybe it's a musical instrument. Maybe you like to read. I don't know what it is that you like to do. And maybe you want to be better at that. Or maybe you want to know more. I don't know what it is. That's your desire. But through your desire, you separate yourself from other things. There are things that you'll say, you know what, because I want to be better at my instrument, then I'm not going to go and play that game, and I'm not going to go and do that thing. Why? Because I'm separating myself to this one thing. I seek and I intermeddle with all thinking, all wisdom, all knowledge, all understanding about that. Why? Because my desire is toward that. And the same is true with the Lord. If we really want to seek the Lord, then we'll separate ourselves from some things. And they did the same thing. They went out of the camp. They left it. They left maybe their wickedness. They left maybe some friends. They left the comforts of home, and they went out. They said, you know what? There are times that I need to separate myself. And every single one of you, if you want to work on your relationship with the Lord, you need to have a time that you separate and you seek the Lord. You separate from distractions. And there's probably a great possibility that several of you in this room, maybe many of you, have friends that don't help you in your relationship with the Lord. And just like that, is this vile world a friend to grace? No. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is the enmity with God? That you cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God? And you have a friend that's not godly in their mindset? Their focus is not to serve the Lord? They are not bringing you to the Lord. And you are not bringing them to the Lord. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. Don't think that you're the one exception to that rule that's going to make the fools wise. Okay, it doesn't work that way. But we need to separate from those things, and we need to give our attention to God. A third thing I want you to see is in verse 10. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. There's an adoration involved. Now, there's something that you will notice as you get older, and that when people have grandchildren, they change. They change greatly. In fact, when you have children, your parents will not love you anymore. That's not really true, but you're going to feel like that because they're going to care about your kids way more than they ever seem to care about you. And I've talked to some about this, and I asked them, you know, what happens? And they're like, oh, grandkids are so much better. If I'd have known this, I'd have skipped having kids. You know, I think, you know, that's messed with your mind. It doesn't work that way. It never works that way. But something changes. And I've seen this happen from time to time. I had a pastor one time that if he was talking to someone, well, he had one grandchild, and he'd be talking to someone, and his children would come in, and they would bring that grandchild in. And it didn't matter what conversation he was having over here. He was totally distracted with his grandchild. You know, he would bend down, and he would cuddle that child, and really would adore that child. He loved that grandchild. Very, very distracting. We need to have that kind of a relationship with the Lord, that we are distracted by our relationship with the Lord, that it gives us so much attention. And look, young people, to deepen your relationship with the Lord, there really needs to be a worship aspect. Notice it says that, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And it's interesting, as I've read that, and I think probably what happens in your mind is the same thing that happens in mine. When I read that, I think these people went to the door, and that it says that they worshiped. In my mind, I see them bowing down. You know what? I found out that's what that word means, that they did obeisance, or that they bowed down, that they worshiped the Lord. Now, why would someone do that? Why would someone bow down? Why would this scene cause them to do that? Because they understand who God is. And I think that all of us have a real sense, not maybe perfectly clear like it ought to be, but we have enough real sense to know that if we were to get a glimpse of the Lord, that we would do a similar thing. And I think we need to take some time and not try to rush through what we're doing. But we need to, we sing these songs, we don't rush through them to say what we sang several songs tonight. We don't do that. We shouldn't rush through our Bible reading and through our preaching and through our services to say, well, we've done what we're supposed to do today. But we need to take time, and in our personal lives, to worship the Lord, to give Him some of ourselves. Someone said that worship is submitting your whole person to the Lord. And I think bowing down does exemplify that Lord, everything that I have is yours. Have you ever said that to the Lord? You know, we ought to say that every day in our devotions. Lord, my whole person is yours. Lord, I don't want to sin against you today. You have my eyes. You have my eyes. Take my eyes. Lord, I don't want to think wrong thoughts. I don't want to think unforgiving thoughts. I don't want to think bitter thoughts. I don't want to think lustful thoughts. I don't want to think greedy thoughts. I don't want to think wrong thoughts, Lord. Take my mind. It's yours. Lord, take my body. Take my friends. Take everything. You know what that takes? That takes obedience, and it takes trust. Do you really trust the Lord? You know, I believe this, that whatever you give to God, God gives back, or He gives you better. If you give your friends to God, God will either give them back because they change, or He will give you better. And you might say, well, if I give my friends, I won't have any friends. Do you trust the Lord? Do you trust the Lord? You know, it may be that you give those wrong friends to the Lord, and He brings a family in. And He brings somebody in that you thought, man, I never thought I'd meet anybody like this. That we're like the same person in different families. I don't know. But I do know this. I trust the Lord. And sometimes it's tough. It's tough to take Him at His word and say, Lord, I've never seen You do this before. And the Lord says, just trust Me. I want to show You great and mighty things that you've never seen before. I want to show You My hand. But sometimes we just have to give ourselves to the Lord in that complete submission and obedience. And you know, that's worship. I think we need to take times in our devotions and say, Lord, You're greater, according to Scripture, than anything that I'll ever imagine. Lord, You love me more than anything. And Lord, I just want to praise You for that. I don't even know how. I don't even know how to say what I want to say. I don't know how to communicate it to You, Lord, but I want to worship You. We need to have times of worship. This is devotion. This is worship. This is reverence. You think of the wise men, right? They come to the Lord, and they probably came a long, long ways. And even if it wasn't in mileage or kilometers, because that was the Middle East, Even if it wasn't a long way in kilometers, it wasn't easy. They didn't get in their vehicles and drive. They might have been on camels. Who knows what they rode in on? We don't know. But it was a long journey. And it was probably dusty, it was probably dirty, it was difficult, it was all those things. But they come and they give of themselves to an infant, a child. And they give of themselves. Why? Because they were worshiping him. Even though they might have been worshipped where they were from as wise men, oh, these people are so far above us in their abilities and their knowledge and all those things. But yet they said, no, one that is greater than us is here. But there was some adoration. And then last, I want you to look in verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. It says, as a man speaketh unto his friend. I believe that God put that in there for a very specific reason. I don't think that he put that in there so that we can say, Moses is greater than all of us. I don't believe that. I think God puts that in there so that we can all say, I can have that kind of a relationship with God. Moses isn't any more special. Sure, I'll never lead Israel out of Egypt. That's not going to happen. God has something different for me. God has something different for you. But God wants the same thing for you that he had with Moses, and that's a relationship. God wants a friendship with you. God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. He walked with them and he talked with them, and I believe that God wants the same thing with you. I believe that God doesn't want just your whatever time that you give him in the morning. God wants the rest of your day. Maybe some of you go to work. Maybe you carpool. Maybe you drive. I don't know what you do. As you go to school, as you're at school, as you walk from class to class, as you go from one place to another, that you can share your heart. As you think of something, you can give that to the Lord. You can share your burdens with the Lord. You can communicate with God, and that's what God wants. If your best friend was there, you would do the same thing with him. So why don't you do it with the Lord? You know, your best friend cannot fix your biggest problems, but God can. And as Moses spoke with him, there's a closeness. I think God wants us to see that there's a warmth. There's a kinship. Do you realize that one of the reasons why we have friends and close friends is because there's an understanding that friend has? Many times it's because they have gone through similar things in their lives. Maybe their families are similar than yours. Maybe they're from a similar location. Maybe their family travels a lot and yours family travels a lot. There's something there that bonds you together. It's called understanding. You understand each other. And maybe you say, you know, that's why I share with them things that I would never share with anybody else, because there's an understanding that they have. They just get it like nobody else gets it. Yeah. Do you realize that nobody's going to understand you better than God understands you? He understands you better than you understand you. He understands how you feel more than you do. You may not have words. You may have words to describe how you feel, but God has better words because God knew that you were going to feel like that. God knows the answer to those issues. And sometimes God just wants us to communicate with him. You know, sometimes God has surprised me because I'll say something to the Lord and, you know what? God answered that. I had a job in high school where I worked for a man that owned some apartment buildings. And sometimes he would leave me at the apartment buildings, and somebody he had evicted, and so we would tear out the carpet because we were refurbishing everything, and maybe we'd tear off the countertops, and we'd repainted everything. And so he would leave, and he'd say, I'll come back later. Well, sometimes I would get done with everything that he told me to do, and there's nothing else to do. And sometimes I'd be working outside, and maybe it was just, I need you to mow the yard, and then I'll be back. Well, mow the yard, and he said he'd be back in an hour and a half, and now we're an hour and 45 minutes later, and what am I supposed to do? And I remember one particular time I was thirsty, and the apartments were right across a fence. I mean, I could throw a rock and hit a grocery store, and I never did that. And so I thought, oh, I could just run over there and buy, you know, something and get something to drink. But I thought, well, if I do that, I mean, what if I'm only gone 5 minutes, but when I come back, what if he's here? And he's, where'd you go? You know, and I don't want him to think that I was slacking off or anything like that. So I was like, Lord, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. I don't know what to do. And it was not very long after that. And he pulls up and says, hey, get in the truck. We got to go someplace. I said, okay. I get in the truck. And he said, oh, here's a Sprite. I bought this for you. You know, That's not a huge spiritual answer to prayer. I wasn't asking for the Lord to save someone. I wasn't asking anything. I was just saying, Lord, I'm thirsty. And the Lord answered that prayer. And it wasn't just water. It was a soft drink. Or pop, because I'm from the Midwest, okay? And God cares about little things like that. Because God cares about you. Don't miss the point. There's a reason why there was a tabernacle outside the camp. It's because God wanted to meet with them so that everyone which sought the Lord went out. If you want to meet with the Lord, you can. If you want to have a friendship with God, you can. God is the best friend that you've always wanted to have. God is the friend that you've always needed. But a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And it's going to take a little bit of effort on our parts to be a friend. God has extended himself over and over and over. He sent his son to die for us so that we could have a relationship with him. He's given us the opportunity to confess sin and to be clean with him. And he's promised us that if we confess that he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? So that we can walk with him, so that we can fellowship with him. This is why the disciples, this is why they loved him. This is why they hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why they were willing to die upside down on a cross. This is why they were willing to be scalded in boiling oil. This is why they were willing to be ostracized from their families and chased by people that they love. Why? Because they loved him. And they loved him because he first loved them. Because they knew that. They knew that whatever sacrifice they were willing to make for God, God has already made for us and will make more. God loves you, and God wants a relationship with you that will literally blow your mind with possibilities and blow your mind with, I didn't know that I could be this close to the Lord, as a man speaketh with his friend. And you know, it's not just Moses, because we look at Joshua here. He was a young man and a servant. Joshua didn't have to leave just because Moses left. And I believe this is why God used Joshua later. It's because Joshua said, you know what, I'm going to spend time with the Lord. I want to have what Moses has. And as we look at these things, how is your relationship with the Lord? Is there anticipation when you open your Bible? Is there anticipation when you came to camp that, you know what, God is going to do something this week? I'm going to be in services all day. I'm going to be memorizing God's word. I'm going to be doing devotions. I'm going to be in services at night. God is going to do something in my heart, and I'm excited about that. And maybe there's some apprehension because I don't know how much scraping God's going to do, and I don't know what he's necessarily going to expose. And I know that it may not feel comfortable, but I do know that when he's scraped out that sin and when he's gutted me of all the evil that's there and he's brought me to the altar and maybe I'm weeping, I know that I feel better than I've ever felt in my life. And I know that God loves me. And the only reason that God exposed all that, the only reason that God brought it out is because he loves me and he wants a better relationship with me. God wants to restore that. And God is working hard to have a relationship with you. Do you anticipate? Do you give God your attention when he's trying to give you something? Do you adore the Lord? Do you spend time with him? And is there an affection? Is there a closeness? Is there a warm relationship? Because you can have that. Young people, I want to ask you, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you this. With a message like this, maybe you sit there and you say, wow, I don't really have a relationship with the Lord. I've heard people talk about it, but I don't have that at all. I don't know that I've ever had that. And you'd say, I'm really questioning whether or not I know the Lord is my Savior. I'm questioning whether or not that I'm saved. Preacher, would you pray for me? Because I'm really concerned about that. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Preacher, I'm concerned about my salvation because this relationship that you've talked about, I don't have anything like it. And God has really worked in my heart that I need to be concerned about my salvation. If that's you, would you raise it high so that I can see it? All right, young person, maybe today that God has really worked in your heart about your relationship with him. Maybe you've allowed it to grow cold. Maybe you've allowed it like a person that's you met in the past and you had a friendship with, but you've just grown apart. And you don't have that close fellowship like you used to have. And God has really worked that in your heart. And you'd say, pray for me. That's me. That's me. I've grown cold in my relationship with the Lord. I see a couple hands. And God has really pressured me and pushed me. Praise the Lord. Several hands. You know, This is my encouragement to you. You can put your hands down. This is my encouragement to you. It's starting right now, you'd make a commitment to the Lord. Lord, I am going to set it as my goal that my relationship with you is the most important thing in my life. That I'm going to esteem the words of your mouth more than my necessary food. That I'm going to know and I'm going to determine that I'm going to spend time in your word every day. And that when I come to preaching, I'm going to come ready to hear what you have to say because I know that you have something for me. How many of you by the upraised hand would say, that's the decision I want to make tonight? That's the decision I want to make tonight. If that's you, would you raise your hand nice and high so that I can see it? That I'm going to determine to work on my relationship. It's the most important thing to me. That when I hear preaching, when I praise the Lord, several hands. You know, I hope that the rest of you have already made that decision. If not, this is what I want you to do as I pray. Those of you that raised your hand, I want you to make that commitment to God. And the rest of you, I want you to say this, Lord, would you show me yourself this week? Would you open my heart and let me know that you want something from me? But don't say that if you're not willing to give it to the Lord. Father, thank you so much for these young people that have raised their hands. Lord, I pray if there is someone that is doubting, I know they don't know their counselor that well, but that they would share with their counselor tonight, look, I need to ask you some questions. I'm not really sure about my salvation, and I just like to talk with you. Lord, give them the boldness to do that. Lord, for these that have raised their hand and said, I'm going to make my number one priority. I'm going to make that to be in my Bible on a daily basis. I'm going to make my number one priority, my relationship with God. Lord, I pray that they would do that. And that this week they would feel the reviving of their relationship with you and that their hearts again would beat for you by the end of this week. Lord, I know that can happen right now. Lord, I know that your power is great enough to change a heart in a moment. Lord, thank you for what you want to do. Thank you for what you're going to do.